Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty for Steven and Nico, two gentlemen who make aggressive music from the soul from the band Mothbite. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. So, I know you guys have been musicians for quite a while. I would like to kind of find out where your stories start individually and how you bring Mothbite together and make this idea become a thing. So, why don't you start and tell me kind of how your musical journey comes to be?
So, I would say, I mean, we both, Steven and I, we both met at church, and that's kind of where we started playing together and jamming and all that. And that was a whole journey on itself. And as far as like background and roots, I think we both have roots in metal.
Yeah.
Metal and like all that kind of music, punk stuff.
Was guitar your first instrument?
Yeah. That was like the one that I caught on to. I actually played piano first, but piano I played for like literally a few months and then I kind of just dropped it. I didn't like it. And I just didn't play music for a while. And then guitar came to me in like middle school, I believe. So
did you start playing piano in like the typical way where you got to go to practice once a week type thing?
Yeah, I think it was lessons with this old Asian lady, like straight up. Like she was showing me, she didn't show me notes, but she showed me how to play, like just showing it and also by ear. And I think that's my little kid brain was like, okay, I do this. And I just played a few things. And then, I don't know, it just didn't catch on for me. Like I played it for, like I said, a few months and then just didn't enjoy it as much. And I kind of stopped for a while. And,
so you had some desire to play music, but that wasn't it.
I think that sparked it somewhat, but I don't know, something, I just didn't like the instrument as much. And then my brother had gotten a guitar on Christmas and for some reason I picked it up and started playing System of a Down.
Nice.
You know them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what was it? Hypnotized was the first song that I learned, and that was just like from then on it was like started playing it and my mom's like, is that him playing? And I was like, yeah, just quietly playing around on the intro and everything, and that kind of started the journey. Like I just fell in love and I couldn't put guitar down.
So by middle school you got a guitar in your hand and you know you've been bitten.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
And this is literally a first act guitar from Walmart.
Nice.
Yeah, and I played that thing for like 3 years. It was great.
Oh, shout out to the first acts, all the first acts out there.
Yeah.
So how do you get to your row? Do you start playing around that time as well?
Yeah, I was in like fifth grade or so. My parents just bought me a drum set, and I just started playing the hell out of it, honestly.
No lessons? They were just like, here's a drum kit, go after it?
I just started like messing around with it a little on my own, and then my parents were like, oh, let's get them lessons. And then I had like a jazz dude. So I was learning a lot of jazz and like Latin grooves and like sambas.
Really?
Yeah, and I would like take that to metal, like at home, and kind of just like use like the weird rhythms from Latin and like the musicality and like dynamics from jazz and just kind of like learn metalcore songs with that in mind.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. How did that seem to you at the time? Did it seem like, man, I'm blending things together? Or was it just like, oh man, I just want to do everything?
Well, there's like no one to teach metal drums around here, really. Like, you really only, like, get, like, jazz or, like, the rock that they were teaching was, like, not it for me, you know? It was, like...
Gotcha.
Not, you know, I like double kick and stuff, so... I don't know, I kind of just...
You got to organically start to pick at all the things around you and make your own thing right out of the gate.
Pretty much. Like, and you kind of just build your own, like, rudiments, I guess, mm-hmm. and, like, your own little styles, and you have, like, your own little things that are, like, unique to, like, oh, I learned jazz and Latin, I'm going to mix it together with metal.
Very cool.
It's unique.
Yeah.
And people kind of, like, notice it, so.
Well, and that's being able to take advantage of your surroundings, too, you know what I mean? If there's no metal drummer around here, at least you can take the Latin things and make some use out of it, or mm-hmm. the whatever influences you do find.
Yeah.
So, at that point, you guys are both picking up your instruments, you're both finding your passions, teenage years. When do you start to take it a little bit more seriously? Do you get into your first band together or separately? Or
like us two?
Yeah.
I think we're both in like separate bands off and on.
Okay.
Like I had started my own band in sophomore year of high school. Oof. I'm not going to mention the name.
So you wanted to take it pretty seriously.
It's so cringe. But yeah, that was the first project where I started making my own music and everything. It was definitely inspired by like, you know, those Memphis Mayfire, Miss May I, all that type of stuff off Rise Records. And it was definitely up that alley. But yeah, that was my first band. And then kind of playing music at church and stuff, got some experience there. and kind of off and on in other bands. What about you?
Yeah, I kind of just played a lot at school too. And
true, forgot about that.
Yeah. What kind of opportunities did you have at school?
Jazz band.
Yeah, jazz band.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is like really hard. Yeah. Like for us, like the guitar player and drums is like kind of ridiculously hard, especially for that age.
How important was it for you guys to have something like that in school? Oh. Instead of just having to be relegated to your, you know, jam session times with the boys, garage jams or whatever.
Like how important is it that we got to
You got channeled that in school?
I know, probably for you too. I know for me, it kind of introduced me to jazz a little bit more. And I tried to read sheet music. And for guitar players, it's pretty rough. If, you know, you're trying to read sheet music, it's kind of a meme for guitar players to just not be good at it. But that was helpful, but more so just having that, you know, dip in the jazz and the Latin and all these other genres. It was definitely pushing in that way, I would say.
Did it help you see the idea of being a musician professionally as more of a possibility? Or weren't you even thinking about, I'm going to do this for a career? It was just about, I'm doing this to do it at that point.
I really wanted to at that age in high school to like play like in bands. And for a while, I think I wanted to do it just to get paid. And that's what I did outside of high school is like, once I was done with high school, I just started playing gigging bands, you know, at the bar, different bands playing like funk and R&B, jazz, all that stuff. So got some experience learning that stuff, but it's not the soul of where I wanted to be at, you know, playing my own music and all that.
So how did you start gigging?
I just had some friends that already had like a small band, and I kind of just hopped on with them. We played a few shows and then it didn't work out, and I always wanted to just play in bands, so I kind of just figured it out, honestly.
And it helps having the drummer needs a gig too, or everybody needs a drummer.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of always like yes or no. Like I kind of always had the decision to like kind of play what I wanted to.
Nice.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's a fortunate thing to have early too, especially. So at what point do you guys come together? Do you tool around for years or like this, or you start to come together pretty quick?
We had a friend that was playing in a punk, like post-hardcore band, I think. Is what we would call it.
Mm-hmm. Easycore.
Easycore, yeah.
Easycore.
And he actually was like, hey, we need a lead guitarist. And I was like, just getting back into music because I had taken a hiatus for 2 years.
Okay.
And I just got back into it. And he's like, we need a lead guitarist. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I jumped into that. And I don't know how long that lasted. What was that, like?
Probably like a year. A good year.
Good year.
It was during like the pandemic though, so we couldn't play shows.
Yeah, it was rough.
We just practiced really hard and wrote an album instead.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
So that's always a good question too. Sometimes it comes up, sometimes it doesn't. But so how did COVID affect you guys? It sounds like it was, you know, for want of a better way of putting it, a good way for you to have some time to incubate some ideas.
Funny enough, quarantine happened and everyone started quarantining and I started going out and doing stuff more, and funny enough, and I was working a lot at that time as well, so I'd literally get off work and then go to the rehearsal space, and everyone's wearing masks and stuff like that, and rip the mask off for rehearsal and then do that. And I was kind of leading to this by saying, like, with that band, we're playing their music, but like in between, Steven and I would end up kind of jamming and stuff, and that literally was like the organic roots.
We would show up early.
Yeah.
Like an hour early.
Or even afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Dang.
So they let us lock it out.
It was nice.
So we could play longer.
Nice.
It'd be like 10 or 11 at night. So we would just, no rehearsal, right? Just play whatever's on our mind and like play whatever. And we just kind of flowed together. And that's like a rare thing to find, obviously. Like,
we used to do that all the time, though.
Yeah.
Like even at like church and stuff, we would like, they'd like have to turn us off after.
Shoot,
we'd just be jamming together, and they'd be like, "All right, leave, like leave."
Oh my
it's
god,
time to go.
I forgot about that. True.
Yeah. So, what were you? What were you thinking when you guys first started clicking like that? Was it noticeably different than what you had done with your bands and your experiences jamming with other bands previously, or was it just did that take a minute to develop?
We like listened to the same music. Like we were into a lot of the same bands. So like I always felt like I knew what he was trying to do.
Ah.
Like I kind of had an idea where he was going to take it.
Okay.
Because it kind of just, like, makes sense if you, like, listen to hours and hours of, like, the same genre and they're all copying each other, doing the same thing. You kind of, like, get the vibe
right.
of, like, where it's going to go.
So what were your big influences at that time that you guys shared?
August Burns Red.
Ooh! Yeah, there's some old footage playing. Remember Mariana's Trench?
Yeah, we would, like, collab all the time online and stuff, too.
Yeah.
We'd, like, play the same song in a different room and then... He'd edit it together. We just post it on Instagram.
And now we do the same thing, just on a broader scale.
Were you doing that stuff during the pandemic, reaching out to people online, or was that when
we were younger.
Okay.
We're jumping around timelines.
Yeah.
We're just, like, recollecting all these memories.
I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm like...
I probably should have we just walked in. Yeah. So we've known each other for a while. As far as, like... COVID, like you were saying, what was your question on the COVID thing?
How it affected you. I mean, some people, it took the wind out of their sails. Some people, they just kind of sat around and waited until they could gig again. And then it seems like some people had they were fortunate enough to kind of go the route that you guys did, where we were able to write some stuff. We were able to jam some more. We were able to work out all kinds of ideas we wouldn't have had the time for otherwise, because we weren't preparing for shows. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always kind of curious how it affected people, because everybody took it a little differently.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we were both working, right?
Well, I, like, got a computer, so I started to learn how to, like, write songs and, like, use, like, Logic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, like, I stopped playing drums for, like, 2 years.
Damn.
That band was the first time I started playing drums again, because it was a bunch of friends. Because I was playing in, like, an indie band, and then these guys from the punk band were there, and I networked with them, and then got in with them, brought Nico in, and then that band moved to Michigan. So then we were just left alone. And that's when it all started, really, because I was, like, mixing during that time.
Yeah.
So I was, like, learning how. Like, the first mixes are rough, but, you know.
So how do you guys write, then? Do you write with the computer involved, or you do everything still organic jamming?
Ooh. So we started doing organic stuff. So that's the thing. When we were organically jamming, just coming up with whatever was on the dome at the rehearsal space with that band from Michigan, there was a moment at some point where I was like, do you want to just try it, us two, and just do it, like, as a band, make this a thing? And we kind of started doing that. I was like, I have some songs on my computer I can send you. Woo! And then I sent him the songs. And at some point in time, went to his house, and then I was like, all right, you want to try that song? And we tried it. And literally, he was, like, playing all the parts, hitting all the hits, and doing all that stuff. He's like, wait, and then go back and... do a little more and then add some extra stuff to it that I just would have not thought of. And there was a moment where I was like, oh my, this is coming together.
this is working.
Yeah, it was wild, because it was like jamming is cool, and there's something really organic when the jamming is good.
Of
but
course.
That's there, and then it's gone, and then it's just not there. But when you write a song and you compose a song, it's always there. And you can play it differently every night, but like, it's still something that people remember and they can catch on to, and it's more intimate. It's not just a bunch of notes, and that's what we would try to get across with this music.
Awesome. So do you purposely leave room in your compositions where you can be improvisational when you perform it?
Yeah.
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 I play the drums differently every show.
Yeah. You got to come to one of our shows to understand.
Full on.
To really understand.
Absolutely. Because I've only heard the recording.
Yeah. Because it's like the recording, but like there's parts that aren't on the recording, and then there's parts that are on the recording that we just give way more energy to when we're actually there. And yeah, like we can kind of like improvise, but it's like a organized improvise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we know the direction we're going, but we're like throwing in little fillers here and there. So yeah, kind of in that aspect, we leave a little room.
For me, it's like there's like a skeleton kind of.
Yeah.
There's like points where you need to be together throughout, like maybe 3 points throughout the song where it's like important to play like the track, and everything is like, how do you want to weave there? Like, how do you want to get there? Like, I'll like mess with dynamics, like place. Like, I kind of also just mess with him too.
It's
like
fun.
I try to like surprise him.
Because all of your music is instrumental, just the two of you, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts about ever adding vocals? Or have you ever thought about that?
Not really.
Or is it just the communication between you two, and that's really what it is?
We actually get that a lot, and I think that's one of the things where we get it a lot, but once people see us, they're like, you don't need a vocalist. Because like some people still might say that, but yeah, most will get the idea because the guitar is the vocals in a way. But then the drums sing too. So it's like firing back and forth. There's a lot of push and pull between the two instruments. I think that's like, it's something very unique that no one's doing. And a lot of people feel it, and a lot of people are moved by it when they see us. It's an experience. It really is.
Amen to that. So how do you, I noticed in the record there is quite a few layers where there's layered guitars. How do you handle that live?
I have some extra hands under here that you can't see.
Nice, like a Goro thing?
I just try to some parts are actually together, depending on like how I'm playing, and there's like different techniques, like just hybrid picking basically. And some of the parts I don't know, I've kind of meshed both together in a way. And that's where just the different genre experience comes into play, like jazz and solo jazz guitar and all that stuff. And then other than that, some parts straight up I leave out because they're not as important. And I just play hard on the parts that are important, and he fills in the rest.
That's kind of what you're saying, is hitting those spots, making sure you hit those spots together. So in order to do that, you guys must not play any tracks or a click live, right?
No.
I see that head shake. That's the I don't want to do that head shake.
In the future, possibly, but like there's so much. I think
I play with tempo on purpose.
Yeah,
like, right. I love to fluctuate it and like kind of like because it keeps it interesting for at least me personally.
Right.
Playing like, you know, like it's just fun.
Yeah.
Time doesn't, because if we're together, then like what is time? Like why does it have to be like the linear boop, boop,
yeah,
boop? Because if we're together, why not make it dance a little?
Yeah,
because right, like jazz is swung, you know? Like you're not playing your eighth notes the same way you would in swing styles, you would straight. So it's like kind of bringing swing time to the invisible metronome.
Right.
And then playing hard stuff on top of it that's like hard to figure out too. So it's just, that's like the layering live. It's like kind of like mentally like, oh my gosh.
So, like you said, the push and pull is really an active part of it.
Yeah.
So, I guess here might be a dumb question if there is such a thing, but do you feel that being able to be free like that really makes your music?
Yes.
Or conversely, if you had to, or if you chose to try to play to a click, it would suffer?
It would. Well, here's the thing. We've never tried to play with a click track and have like the backing track layers, but I have a theory that it might not have the same raw feel that we do when it's just us two, because like there's so much. I've been observing this with just going to shows and just checking out other bands. All these bands are great, but there is something that is not present when you're just playing with backing tracks and you're just kind of going through the motions and you're playing the song and you're playing your part as it is. Whereas if you're not using a track and you're just in that moment, other people are going to pick up on that. They're not going to understand it, but they're going to like pick up on like the raw energy that's there.
Right.
And I think that really puts our music where it is in a way. And like with the tempo change, it's not always there, but say for like end of the song, it might slow down. And it's like, that is very dynamic in the sense that, you know, you got your volume dynamics and then now we have like tempo dynamics. Like if we want to slow down or speed up, whatever the case, but.
And that happens always organically.
Mm-hmm.
So then let me ask you this. How do you approach tracking? Because it can be hard to track to fluctuating tempos. Do you track everything live together, the two of you?
No.
Yeah, I call the record like I kind of use the record as like I don't even know. It's like a different sort of thing, honestly. Like I run it through like different like plugins and stuff and get like different like effects and like we'll reamp his guitar stuff into like my pedal board and just make it like insane noises, like just crazy noise floors, and just kind of like writing with that, and just kind of like I just try to make it sound different because it's gonna be different live,
right?
And honestly, like getting like that live stuff recorded is kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Doing it this way, it's like literally free.
Well, technically, we did do a live recording over at 152 Productions in Orlando. So that's on YouTube. I just shoot you guys all the links, all that.
I was going to say, we'll put the link in the description for that for sure.
So that's an example of us like in a live setting, though. So it's not exactly what we have on Spotify and all that.
Gray Matter, how did you approach that one? That's the one I listened to. I mean, it sounds like you tracked it. Mm-hmm. But for you to put down guitars over drums that fluctuate tempo, that can be really challenging.
Yeah. So
how did you manage that?
That's literally all just metronome.
Okay. Like,
that's the only way we can get things to line up.
Right.
Because I'll record all the parts and everything, the guitar parts at my house, and then I'll just shoot them to him.
Gotcha.
On, and stems.
Yeah.
Just load it in. And...
Yeah. So it, for that, that's more of like, we need the metronome so we can easily just plug things in and
gotcha.
Just throw it in there. It's not, the tempo change is very subtle when we play live. And it's funny enough, it's not on the parts you would think. So I was editing a promo video, and I already told you this, but I was editing a promo video, and there's clips from our live footage mm-hmm. of him playing. And back and forth, I'm trying to line it up to the song that we played to, like the studio song and our live footage, and it lined up perfectly on tempo. And I was like, dude, you know we're on tempo. Like, we're literally on tempo on this without any metronome. It's kind of crazy, but...
Dang, that's muscle funny. Memory right there.
I think that's what it is, though, and very blessed to have
when
that.
When you mix it, yeah. I've listened to that album hundreds of times. Like, it's... You know, when you mix an album, you're just constantly hearing the same song over and over again.
Yeah, I know that life. So let me ask you that. How did you come to decide to do all that stuff yourself? Was it just a matter of I can, I will?
Yes, or... sir.
So I want to.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
Heck yes. So how did you come on the knowledge base to do that? Was it a YouTube university thing, or you have some engineering background, or?
I just do an insane amount of research, like a notebook, and just watch videos, and just like a lot of, I call it experimenting though.
Yeah.
I just have a lot of fun just sitting there and writing a song that I know sucks that like I'm not trying to share, but like I'm like experimenting with new sounds and like how does this layer in with this, or like trying to double, like, just a new way to stereo pan something to see what it does when it gets louder.
Right.
Messing with, like, your luff range, just testing out pedals. And some of my, like, shrill pedals, like, just ruin a whole mix. So you're, like, dialing that in. And then maybe a year down the road, you're, like, using that pedal in a song. And you're like, oh, like, you know what to dial into. I don't know. It's just, like, personally, I just like it. And I think, like, I just kind of keep stumbling my way into finishing an album, and every time I'm done, I'm like, I can't believe I did that, you know?
Well, that's a good sign. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, like, it's, I just have a lot of confidence.
That's what I was just gonna...
Just push through.
Just do what sounds good, too. Like, I'm sure when you're doing that, it's like you follow where your ear takes you, and, like, you do what sounds good.
Sometimes it can be really hard to trust that, though. For some people.
Yeah.
That's why I'm that's what I was just gonna
where we bounce things back and forth. Though.
That's what I was just gonna ask. How important is it for you to have the attitude where I'm not gonna look at this as failure or whatever, this is just experiment.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you don't have to worry about if you're bad at mixing if you don't care, if you're just having fun and doing it.
That's on my other stuff. You know, that's on the Mossbite stuff. I stress. I stress.
Well, the real stress would be paying someone else to do it who, you know, has a litany of engineering credits or anything like that.
Exactly. It's all a learning process because, like, no matter what, it's like, you know, years from now, like, this experience is going to help you, like, when you're doing mixing stuff in the future. And it's just repertoire, really. And that's how it goes. I can look at songs I wrote, like, when I was in middle school, too. Like, when I started playing guitar, they're trash, bro. Like, they sound so bad, dude. And if I could pull them up now and do a side-by-side comparison, I'd be cringing really hard. But, you know, that's the big difference there. It's like I did that, and I thought that was cool at the time. And I was like, oh, this is so good. But then, like, years later, I'm like, oh, my gosh. But it got me to, like, where I'm at now to, like, be able to do this. And that's, like, the fun part of it. I have fun doing it. He has fun doing it, so.
Yeah, and I guess my question is, how much do you feel that a fearlessness plays into the fact that you made it from shitty songs in middle school to ones now that you feel better about? You know, for some people, it's just the blind confidence that helps them keep going, and it's fun, and we want to do it. For some people, they feel like they have something to prove. For other people, it's just an artistic niche, and it doesn't matter if anybody ever hears it. That's sort of why I asked you, you know, how much did you want to play? Because some kids just want to pick up guitar and sit in their room forever. You know what I mean? So I think that the fearlessness is a spot where a lot of people get hooked up. So I'm wondering how that was for you, if you were conscious of it at all at the time, you know, not second-guessing yourself. So you got past shitty song, not second-guessing yourself. So you made it past, man, this sounds like ass, but 6 months from now I'll know how to use this pedal if I let it sound like ass right now. You know what I mean?
Just wanted to. Like, really wanted to. Like when you really want to do something, it's like that is it. You don't care what other people think. You just do it. And that was the thing when we started. It's like it's just us two, and that's it. We don't have the bass player. We don't have a rhythm guitar player. We don't have a singer. Crazy enough. So
believe it.
Yeah. So someone could look at that and be like, "Oh, you need all these other members," and we have everything we need right here. And we started doing that a year and a half later of playing shows, and it's like we have so many like organic, I would say, fans or just followers that love to show up and just ride the wave with us at these shows. And it's always a fun experience, and people are like shaking from the energy and just like it's awesome. And different reactions from everyone. I keep hearing people say like they're put in a trance like throughout the whole set, and goes by super quick. And we even have people crying during the set too. It's insane. Nice. But just the fact that I don't think it matters so much as like, yes, you need the skill to do these things, to do the songwriting, to do the producing and the engineering. You need the skill, but I think there's just a genuine love that you need for it. And also you put the love into it and make it sound good. And I don't know, for us, I mean, I know for me, like when writing songs, I'm putting stuff, like sending it to him, and it's just all things that, you know, feel good and sound good and I enjoy hearing. Like I will listen to my own, I listen to my own demos and everything, and I just enjoy them as like music itself, just listening to them and picturing how it's going to come out. And yeah, just enjoy what you're doing. That's what you need. I mean, that's where this art comes at, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's a sort of a unique thing of itself too. It's not art. You're not making it out of desperation or pain or whatever. This is actually a joy thing. Mm. So what do your songs, when you perform live, do you perform them like as a concept beginning to end, or do you make up a different set every night? Because I'm interested in this live show. What's the trance come to be like? Ooh.
You should just come to one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I want everybody that sees this to want everyone to come to one. You already got me. Yeah. I'm coming.
So I would say we change the set pretty often. Like
pretty much every show.
Yeah, it's close. It's getting close to that where we just swap the songs and move it around. But the recent set I really want to do for the next 3 weeks with the hallway for yeah. So that's kind of, we just plan it out as far as like the middle songs, you know, we kind of figure out a flow, but to answer your question, I mean, we really just, that intro and the first song is important, and the ending song is also important. But along with that, it's, for me, it's like when I'm playing on guitar, I'm thinking of the songs and how they lead into the other ones and the transitions, and if we can bind two songs together easily, then definitely want to do that. And
right.
Just keeping... I don't want any like too long of interruptions. And also we're on a timer when we're playing these shows. Usually it's like a 25 to a 30 minute set. So I will literally like put my phone down, put the timer on and just keep playing and try not to take too long just so we can cram everything we want to cram in and put a set out that's enjoyable where it's like front to back, just nothing but music and good noises and stuff.
How does the live show translate ideally best in your eyes?
I just want it to be like something different, honestly. Like just a lot of energy. Like I don't know. Like it physically hurts to play as like hard and as much as I do. Like after the set, I'm like out for a day or two. Like I'm just like sore.
Dang.
But that's kind of like, it's just fun though. Like, it's fun to just leave it all out. It's like a form of, like, therapy, I guess. I don't know.
You got to remember.
Literally, but, you know.
This dude hits the hell out of this his drums. It's not like a little.
No, I beat the snot out of him.
Yeah.
This is how you get the tone. You're sending air through it.
Right.
Just send some air, you know.
That's
send
right.
Send some air.
Well, and I think those are some of the things, too, that get lost in performances today that are kind of flat. And, you know, I'm very anxious to see your energy live. It sounds like it's very deliberate.
Every hit matters.
Yes, sir.
That's it's not planned out, but it matters.
Yeah.
Like, it's all played with a lot of intention. Like, I'm locked in. He's locked. We're locked in. Like, not thinking about anything else, but just, like, the moment itself, too. Like, not really thinking about, like, too far ahead or, like, something from behind. Like, you're just... That's why I think it's fun. You're just locked in the moment. and you're just thinking about, like, the verse when you're in the verse, and then if we were about to, like, hit this chorus part, then, like, you don't worry about it until you're literally there in it.
Right.
And it's just fun.
People feel that.
I was going to say, that's unique. That's something different.
They feel that, and they pick up on that, and that's what keeps them locked in.
Because the songs are structured differently, too. Like, we're not playing, like, a chord progression with, like, a nice lead line that comps the vocals and, like, slowly gelling a song or, like, bringing it up to, like, a point. Like, it's, like, it all, like, it's just a song from the very beginning to the end. Like, there's not really much build more than it's, like, music. And it builds by intensity of, like, the notes you're playing, too. Mm-hmm.
And how we play it.
But it's...
So when you're performing in something like that where you're in it, like you said, you're locked in it, how conscious can you be, if at all, of the fact that you're even performing for people? What's it feel like for you two?
I don't notice anyone in the crowd, like, ever. I'm just kind of in my own little world. I don't even look up. Like, I'm kind of just, like, locked in.
I forget to look up. I forget. I will, like, mid-set and, like, kind of look around and see what's going on. But, like, at the same time, I think... my brain turns off and it just, it's, I'm just listening. That's all it is. Like, nothing else really matters at all. I'm just listening. And then I have moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so lucky to be doing this. Like, just playing the songs. And then I purposely won't wear like earplugs or anything when we play. A, so I can hear him and hear my guitar and hear the very, very fine like touch of everything, because it's got to be crisp. And B, because sometimes it's just fun to hear the crowd reaction, if right. I'm honest. And, like, just to hear that, like, for, you know, the songs that, you know, I sit there and pluck away at in my room, and to be playing in front of people is just like, oh, my gosh, this is a blessing. It's so cool. So very thankful in that aspect. But it's between that and just listening, because, like he says, it's like we're both locked in. Like, that is the moment, and that's the only thing that matters. And It's just a fun ride.
That's awesome. I love that ethos. So let me talk to you a little bit about the equipment that you're using to bring this to the world. Because if you're not, you know, in the click tracks and in-ears and all that, I'm guessing that you're not playing with modelers and, you know, real modern stuff too. Talk to me about your approach to your equipment live.
So that took a little bit of fiddling around with to, like, get – the moth bite sound onto my guitar and get something that worked well. I can't name every pedal off the top of my head.
No.
But just a standard size pedal board. A lot of my tone is coming from the PRS MT-15 I was talking about earlier.
Okay.
That thing kicks. I love it.
So still using an amp.
Yeah. It's tube amp all the way. I love tube amps. And a lot of the, like, gain that I play when we're playing live is coming straight from that. And then I have my onboard compressors on the board and, like, literally one overdrive on my board, and I just leave that on. And we swap between dirty and clean channel quite often. So the clean channel on that PRS is literally the reason why I got that head. It's because it sounds great. It sounds great with the gain as well. So I was like, that's the one. So I grabbed it. And I have that going into a 2x12 Laney cab. And it works nicely, not too big, not too small. It works great. And that's pretty much it. I mean, for a while, I was using the 6-string Charvel, the HSS, and works great. I used that for a while, still using it on a few songs, but I swapped over to an 8-string Legator that I was talking about earlier. And I think that kind of... on Gray Matter, there's 3 8-string songs at the end, and we've continued to work on new songs, and we're including some new songs in the set, but we have a lot of new songs that we're working on right now that's, like, under the table until, like, we get to that point. A lot of those are 8-string songs, and I think that is starting to just naturally become part of, like, the arsenal, really, and it takes that low frequency of the... you know, those 8-strings, I can utilize all that, and it works nicely to include the chords, include bass notes, and just fill everything up a lot more. And it's been fun. Really like the 8-string.
So that gives you more versatility from a sonic standpoint, and then your rig gives you a little bit more versatility to still translate the sounds from your hands. Exactly. Not so much.
I keep it really simple, though. Like, I have a reverb and delay, and I don't really do too many other effects just because there's so much going on. And it's pretty straight to the point. A lot of, like, the music is just coming from like the playing and the composition. And yeah, that's pretty much it on my end. There's really not much else besides that.
So. And for you, do you have to fight a temptation to play a monster kit because you've got all this space you could occupy, or you play a trap kit and just have at it?
No, I just have like a small little, you know, just kick, one tom, low tom, snare, just some cymbals. It doesn't matter.
Do you have the urge to make a Neil Peart kit since it's just the two of you and you could, I mean, you got...
I love the limitation.
Okay.
Limitation's important.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that. How do you find limitation important?
You just start playing linear. Like, you just change the way you play. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, for example, like, instead of, like, because I still make it, like, really melodic. Mm-hmm. So I'll, like, do, like, runs where you, like, will hit a cymbal when you would think to hit a snare.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, like, hit, like, a bunch of, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, like, I don't really know. Like, my cymbals are all unique cymbals, too. Like, I have a stack that's, like, sounds really weird. And, like, my main ride is, like, cracked really bad. And, like, my other China
customized
stuff is, like, yeah.
Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds weird. Like, it just all, like, I'm kind of just making noise to pulse a beat. Like, all I hear during the set is, like, pulsing. And it's not, like, a metronome, but it's, like, pulsing, like, you know, like, you got that going on the whole time.
Right.
And then I'm kind of just messing around with, like, kick and snare. Because that's, like, what people dance to is kick and snare. So if you, like, offset your kick and snare and, like, make that, like, insane, you don't need all, like, the tom work, really. Because you're just, like, breaking necks with what you already have.
Exactly.
You're just taking a new approach on, like, what seems simple, and then you just do, like, two or three things, and then it just throws the whole thing over. And everyone's like, ooh.
That's interesting. So how do you straddle the line between simple and complex, then, and having too many options and not?
That right there is having too many options is not a good thing, ever. I think there's something beautiful about being in a box and then creating with the tools you have. For me, it's just my guitar. that's kind of like where I'm like, okay, I have this guitar. Now what do I do with it?
Okay. And
that's where
similar approach you're taking.
Yeah. And you create from that. And I think we both do that very nicely. I forget what else I was going to say on that, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Like we're really tight. We utilize a lot of silence in our set too. Cause I think, that's something that just naturally I noticed all my life, and I never was a huge fan of it, is when it was just constant noise.
Right.
When, you know, artist or band goes up and it's just constant noise pounding away. And that's cool for some genres, but for me, it's like, I want to do different things and want to utilize that space to take your breath away and whatever it is. And simplicity is a big one. It's a very big one, especially as a guitar player, or just anyone, but... Naturally, I think instrumental bands, I'm just going to say it, instrumental bands tend to shred.
Right.
Play a bunch of notes, and
yeah.
No one's going to catch that. No one's going to – there might be some person in the crowd that's a guitar player, like, oh, cool. But the human ear does not want to hear a bunch of notes. They want to hear something that sings to them, and it stays in their head. And that's where the focal point of this band is like making something that grabs your soul, or something that at least is catchy, it stays in your head, but at the very least it hits you in the soul somewhere. And that's definitely what makes us special, I would say. You'll hear, like, we'll call verse, chorus on the song, because there's a literal chorus on these songs. You'll hear there's repeating melodies and all that, and it might as well be a voice, honestly.
Right.
I still make it mathy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I math out with the drums, make it, like, nuts. So it's, like, I call it comping to him. Like, he, like, has, like, a melody idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just let him do all that, and then I comp to it.
Mm. In a way, it's controlled, though. It's still controlled. It's not, like, out there.
Right? Well, I, like, change your ideas around by the way I comp, too. Like, yeah. The way I place the snare, like, if I want it to be halftime, like, that's up to me. I still got your melody, so I'm, like, kind of still... writing with the drums, like, it kind of is like 50-50.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a way, it sounds like you can kind of couch some complexity in the simplicity, you know. You
pretty
can
much
make those,
it's
little
a blend
turns.
It's a very much blend. If it's too simple, then it's like, all right,
right,
elevator music.
yeah
it's hard. Yeah. it's a really tight line to ride.
So, now that I think about it, it has its moments, because like there's parts where we're just like going off, and
well, you gotta have that.
Yeah. But it, for the most part, it's pretty controlled, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I am very anxious to see the going off and the controlled. You've got a show coming up. When's your next show after this?
So we have a show at this place called Oscura in Bradenton.
Ooh, shout out Oscura. Shout out, man.
Yes, sir.
They're great. They're part of the family.
Yes, they're great. We love them. March 20th. So it's going to be on March 20th. We're playing with Curses and a bunch of other bands. It's on a Wednesday. It's going to be a fun time, and we're continuously updating our Instagram with like different promos and shows that are coming up as well. So we have quite a bit this month and next month as well.
So what's on the immediate horizon? Do you write whilst you play, or do you shift gears and focus towards letting your mind be right to play?
You're saying like live shows and like composing?
Yeah, exactly. Do you do both at the same time, or you do one and then the other?
I just want it to be harder every time.
It's both.
What do you mean by harder? Harder, heavier, or more challenging?
Myself.
Oh, okay.
I want to give more.
Yeah, I would say like in between. You're asking if like we're writing stuff right now.
Yeah.
So the last 6 months in between the shows is like I was just like pumping out songs, and now they're all on Drive. So like I was like, hey man, I sent them all to him, and yeah, we're kind of just working in between the shows like to slowly get this next album going, and I don't want to say too much on it, but it's definitely, oh man, it's gray matter times five, honestly.
You played more shows, you're better at writing, I'm better at mixing. Yeah. Like, it's just the natural, it's nice to see. Like, it just is going, we're getting better.
And we know our sound, too. Like,
first record out of the way, yep.
Because Gray Matter is technically our second album. If you listen to our first album, that was like before we even really started playing together. So it's like, it still sounds good, but now it's like Gray Matter is such a staple for us. I think that was like, here's our sound.
Gotcha.
And then the next album is like, ooh, get ready because here's more. And yeah, it's going to be great.
I like the new album more than the last one.
Dude,
I just think it's like better melodies. And same. Like more interesting songs. Like you're just attacking more.
I really want to put our new stuff onto the promos, the little promo clips for the shorts, but that would be a bad thing.
Because you're going to get everybody, is this new material? Is this you?
Yeah, what song is this? I'm like, oh, man.
You're going to play this live?
Yeah.
So what are you most excited about for the change then? What of the growth is the most exciting for you? Do you notice that your melodies have gotten more intricate? Do you notice that you're getting more mileage out of your energy?
I got better drums. I'm just, like, having a lot more fun. Like, if I think of something I want to play, it just comes out, like, live in action.
Nice.
Because, like, your arms are so warm.
Nice.
Playing all the time, every week there's like a show for me, because I play in like other bands too, so there's like a show every week for me pretty much, so I'm always like playing. It's a good time.
Do you find that that's hard to manage and you're just doing it, or you find that that actually helps you to be in multiple bands?
It kind of helps, because I'm like learning how to be a drummer again, if that makes sense, because I'm just comping to him. Mm-hmm. But now when I'm like playing with other people, because I also like do fill-in gigs too, and like I'm like gluing everyone together. It's like kind of like a whole new take on drums.
Very cool.
Which like is what you're supposed to do as a drummer, but I haven't done it in like a couple years. So getting to do that again, I'm like getting like feel back.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. It's like feel with the intensity and a lot of notes. I'm just trying to hit harder, like faster. It's more interesting.
That's a hell of a trio right there. Yeah. Faster, harder, more interesting. Yeah. I think that's every drummer's checklist right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So do you think that you'll have another album out yet in 2024, or you're going to focus on writing and just playing the shows and give yourself time?
Not going to say dates yet. Oh, we're just taking our time this time around. We're going to take our time with it and make sure it's good.
Last time, did you have confines on yourself or expectations you made on yourself?
We definitely had some expectations to get something else out, because we were sitting on these songs and it was like, okay, these songs are way better than the first album.
And that first album was not a good representation of us.
Oh, like, so you had the pressure that we really want to get our real face out there quick.
Yeah, it just felt like it. Like, just the development was so quick, too, because, like, those songs in the first record are songs that I had on my computer for a while, and, like, before we even started playing shows. And then Gray Matter is accumulation of all what we started to accumulate. So I was like, okay, this is really our sound, more so. But as far as your question about, like, the new material and, like what exactly we're excited about, I would just say it's way catchier, and the songs are way more mature, and both the songwriting and all that. And like, dude, I'll cry on some of the songs. It's so embarrassing and cringy, but I fucking cry on some of the songs just because they're so good. Like, it
well,
hits
that
me.
Means you yeah. mean it.
Yeah, and I'm like putting my whole soul into it. So it's like, I hope other people can feel that when we release it and when we play it live even more, because this is just the recording I'm listening to. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we play it live. It's going to be ridiculous, probably.
Amen to that. So I'm definitely stoked to see you guys live. I'm definitely stoked for what your future holds. I want to get you out of here on something fun. Mm. If you could set up a gig with you and two other bands, I don't care, living, dead, dream gig, there's no rules. I don't care if it's on the moon. What is the gig? You can collaborate or you can answer independently.
I don't even know.
And the reason why I ask this is because I'm curious where you see either your music ideally sitting with vibe-wise, or you see your ideal sitting with to get to a different, a more broad audience. You know what I mean?
I don't even know who we fit in with.
So that means you get to pick whoever it is you'd want to play with.
I'm gonna say, like, man, that's so tough. There's so much music out there and so many good artists as well.
Right.
If there was some crazy show bill that was Hiatus Coyote, Polyphia, and maybe one other crazy band, I don't know, but just those two are some big hitters that if we played on the same bill, I'd be like,
that'd be a good home for your sound.
Let's go hard. We need to go hard. Like, we'd play that. But as far as our home sound, I really don't know. It's going to keep developing. But some people say we sound like Polyphia. Some say Plenty. But it's like not – it's like little moments where it sounds like that. But it's just not that either. So I think we have something completely new that we bring to the table that none of these bigger bands are doing. And
very cool.
They all have their boxes, which that's cool. You got to – have some kind of box.
Right.
But we really stick out in that aspect as far as, like, it's just raw, organic, and it hits you in the soul.
Amen. What about you?
I really don't know. I mean, I feel like we would fit in pretty good with just, like, I love noise rock and, like, shoegaze and, like, weird, like.
Very cool.
Yeah, like, emo, scrams, like, just, like, noise. Just, like, violent noise and stuff,
like, too. All the way to Melt Banana?
I don't know them.
Oh, that's the royalty of Japanese noise rock.
Okay.
Oh, do you know Toe?
I don't.
Oh.
See, looks damn. Like we got some music to swap.
Toe's cool.
Looks like we got some men because I love noise and chaos too.
Yeah.
Well, Nico, Steven, Mothbite, I'm so glad you guys came down. I'm grateful for having heard from you, and I can't wait to see you guys live. And everybody out there, make sure you get to see these gentlemen live. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.